I begin with a question. How does God get a message to you? Well, the most obvious way is he has this book called the Bible, and you can read it at your leisure under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, talking to your heart as you read it. You will get the message from God. Sometimes God sends you a message through a friend in conversation. Sometimes God sends you a message from a pulpit or a venue like this, where you are listening to a sermon that has been recorded. God has a lot of ways to get his message to us. He's not bound by any of them. But for very special events, he sends special messengers. And these messengers are called angels. And there could hardly be a more special event than the birth of his son on the face of the earth. And so, we're not surprised that the birth story of Jesus Christ is accompanied by special messengers called angels. And today we're going to look at surrounding things that happen before the birth of Christ and then after. Three angel appearances before and one after. God's messengers. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 19. And the angel, well, there's the messenger, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Gabriel introduces himself by name. Him is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He's in the temple, and he's serving as a servant of the temple. And in his temple service, an angel named Gabriel appears to him. And when he does, he introduces himself, but then he says this, I am sent to speak unto you. That's my job. I was sent by God to speak. And that's what angels do. And we should remember that every time that we read the angel's message, that this is not just Gabriel speaking, it's God speaking. And Gabriel is simply God's mouthpiece. He's simply God's messenger. So what is it that is necessary to be known? What does Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, need to know? What is Mary, the mother of Jesus, supposed to know? What is Joseph, the man betrothed to Mary, supposed to know? And then later, what are the shepherds supposed to know? We'll find out by looking at the message of the angels. The preparation before Jesus came and gave his ministry, he was going to have one appear before him preaching, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And this voice that was crying in the wilderness was John the Baptist, his cousin, part of a miracle birth story himself. Elizabeth, his mother, and Zacharias, his father, together were unable to have a child. And suddenly, she's with child. Or she's going to be, that's what the angel's coming to tell him. You're going to finally have your prayers answered. And this prayer that's being answered is not just any ordinary child. This is the one who has been prophesied of old to be the voice that is crying in the wilderness. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, we read these words. But the angel, there's God's messenger, the angel said unto him, Zacharias, that's pretty clear in the next few words, fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. He had a specific name. God named him. And we know that that's supposed to be his name because God sent a messenger, the angel Gabriel. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. That is, everyone's going to be very happy because he is a miracle baby, and so they're all going to be happy for the family, but there's a bigger reason to be happy. And this is the prophecy of this coming child. And many of the children of Israel shall heed, the little baby that's going to be born, turn to the Lord their God. That is, he's going to help people find repentance and turning back to God. And he shall go before him, meaning before the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elias. He'll be like an Old Testament Elijah, the prophet, calling the people away from their sinful ways. And into, you know, Elijah stood before the prophets of Baal and the people who were following the wrong God. He said, how long will you stand between two opinions? If God's God, follow him. And so Elijah, the power, the boldness of Elijah, that's what John the Baptist has. And he came saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. That is, they are a disobedient generation, and they're going to be turned by the ministry of this young boy who is going to grow up after he is born. His ministry is going to help people get back to where, say, Abraham was, or David when he was being faithful, or Solomon when he was being faithful was. The wisdom of the just, the faithfulness of these people. They're not that way now. They're going to be turned. The fathers will be, whether the children will be turned back to the fathers. To make ready, the angel says, a people prepared for the Lord. And this is the message. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent. Prepare ye the way. So the first message was, there's going to be a special boy named John the Baptist. Now, Elizabeth's cousin was named Mary, and she had an even greater miracle. Not only was she a barren womb that was being opened, because she wasn't really a barren womb because it had never been tested. She had never had relations with a man. She was a virgin. And the Virgin Mary has an angel come to her and say that she is to bear the Christ child. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Again, God sends, the angel has the message. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored. And of course she is. No one else is going to bear the Christ child. Only one person in all the history of the world can do that. She's it. Hail, thou art highly favored with the Lord. The Lord is with thee, rather. Blessed art thou among women. What a joy it is. Women have the privilege of having children. That's their role in life. As a female, they are able to do that. Males are not. And so, among those who can bear children, she is the most highly favored because she bears the ultimate child, the Christ child. And when she saw him, the angel, Mary saw the angel, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What in the world is he talking about? And the angel, then goes on to explain it, said, this is verse 30 of Luke chapter 1, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Gabriel told Zacharias and Elizabeth, name your child John. She tells Mary, name your child Jesus. God chose both of their names. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, sitting on the throne of David. He is the son of Abraham. He is the son of David. Now, she's just been told she's going to have a son. She knows she's never had relations with a man. So she asks the obvious question, how in the world can that be? Verse 34 of Luke chapter 1, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The virgin is a vessel. The Holy Spirit comes upon her, and that which is born of her is not tainted with Adam's sin, but is a holy thing. A holy thing. And not only is it just a thing, this life that is within her womb is the very Son of God. And so the angel said, I got another message for you. I know you're doubting what I just said. So I want you to understand something. Your cousin Elizabeth, also unable to have children, now has a miraculous birth on her own part. Go talk to her. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And then the wonderful message of the angel. Now, so far, everything the angel had to say was to Zacharias. And everything the angel had to say was to Mary. But not only does he say this to Mary, it's true for every one of us. I want you to hear this. Here's what the angel says to Mary now. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's a good message. An angelic message. A special message. There could be no greater message than that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Nothing's impossible. I can face anything. I can do anything. Whatever God asks me to do, I can do because He will give me the power to do it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So we had angelic message. One was to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Message number two was to Mary. Now we go to message number three, and that's to Joseph, the man who is engaged to Mary. Here we go to another gospel. We've been in Luke. Now we're going to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, as I'm going to tell you how it worked. That's what Matthew's saying to you. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, that is, they're still virgins, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, just like the angel said would happen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. That is, he doesn't know the story. He doesn't know the angel's message. He doesn't understand. He assumes the worst. He assumes that Mary has been unfaithful. And he loves Mary, so he's not going to try to have her stoned to death for her adultery. He's going to put her away privately. He's not going to make a big deal about it. He's going to, in essence, have an annulment of his engagement. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, that is, I'm thinking about ending our relationship, behold, the angel, here's one of those messengers, of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Don't be afraid to do that. You should do that. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, not some traveling salesman, not some random shepherd somewhere in town. The Holy Ghost is the father of the child within her. So he is going to be the son of man because he comes from a woman, but he also will be the son of God because he is conceived by the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. The angel's got a message about this child, and it's probably the biggest message we get out of Christmas. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Why do we call him Jesus? Well, in the Old Testament, Joshua was a deliverer, and Jesus is going to be a deliverer. What's he going to deliver us from? Sin and death. He's going to give us victory over sin and death. He's going to save his people from their sins. That's why he has come to the earth. God has become with us. The angel says that as well. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. As in addition to Jesus, he also has a title, Emmanuel. What does that mean? Well, we're told what it means. In the Hebrew, it means this, which being interpreted is God with us. This is not an ordinary baby. This is God made flesh. And the angel brought that special message from God. And he did so to comfort Mary, to comfort Zacharias, encourage him, and to comfort Joseph and to keep him from putting away his wife. Jesus was going to grow up in a two-parent household, and that's what God wanted. Still does, by the way. To the shepherds, those were all pre-birth. Now Jesus has been born in Bethlehem in a manger, and there's another angelic visit, this time to shepherds. In the Gospel of Luke, now chapter 2, we've been in chapter 1 of Luke, now chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. For the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I've got a message, the angel says. It's to you, shepherds, poor people, hardworking people, the lowest of the earth in one sense. And this message is for you. But it's not just for you. The message is for all people. For unto you, literally, these shepherds who were going to be reminded of another shepherd king, Jesus Christ, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, one angelic presence, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, a multitude of angels. And what are they doing? They're praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Again, just like Mary had a message that was to her from the angel, with men things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. Here, we have the message. Everyone does. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. We celebrate the joy of glory to God in the highest. He has sent us his Son to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to be our Savior, to take away the guilt and horror of our sin, and to wash us, to make us clean and white as snow. The old prophet said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The angel verifies that this is a time of great rejoices. Who gets the credit for this? Well, God does. Glory to God in the highest. But on earth also, we have this sense of love, appreciation, goodwill toward others. And it is interesting that at Christmas time, we seem to do a better job of that. We're not perfect by any means, but we seem to do a better job at being nice to people, kind to people at this time of year. Would to God that we didn't make this a seasonal thing, that we made it an everyday thing, because salvation's an everyday thing. Jesus is an everyday thing. Let us be found giving glory to God and spreading peace and goodwill toward all men. Let us live with the hope that all things are possible with God. Virgins can conceive and bear a child. The barren can have their wombs open. And God can send a message that he has been planning to send for millennia. And it's now time, and he sends the angels to say, this is a special time. Don't ever forget this time, and we aren't. We're not going to ever forget this. This is the message and joy of Christmas, the great Christmas message. God sent his own self to the world so that he might be Emmanuel, God with us. Why did he do it? To save his people from their sins. May God add his blessing, is my prayer.